I'm Carol Hills, and this is The World.
I am your son, white man. Georgia dusk in the turpentine woods. One of the pillars of the temple fell. You are my son like hell.
That's Langston Hughes reading from his poem, Mulatto. And here's a piece of history I didn't know much about. In the early 1930s, leading figures from the Harlem Renaissance, including Langston Hughes, traveled to the USSR for artistic collaborations. Jennifer Wilson wrote an essay in the New York Times about the connection between the Harlem Renaissance and communist Russia. Jennifer, I was fascinated to read in your article that Langston Hughes and a group of 21 other African Americans actually traveled to Russia in the early 1930s to make a movie about race relations. What was it and what happened?
In 1932, Louise Patterson, who was head of the Harlem branch of Friends of the Soviet Union, was approached by representatives from Moscow about potentially making a film on race relations in the United States. And she was lucky enough to recruit Langston Hughes, who was a friend of hers, and he was known as a communist sympathizer, to help produce the film and to work on assembling a cast. And there were many different versions of the script, but essentially the main sort of plot line was about black workers and white workers in the American South who were experiencing tensions between their two groups, and essentially a labor organizer who's sort of a stand-in for communism in the Soviet Union explains to them that, you know, your struggles are connected and that these racial divisions are a tool of your capitalist oppressors.
So in a way, it was a way to kind of promote a Soviet view of the workplace and of race relations. Did the film ever get made?
No, the film did not get made. And there is many different theories about why. Some people thought that the Soviet Union, who was trying to get official recognition from the United States, was worried that a film exposing the horrors of American racism might interfere with that process. Langston Hughes and Louise Patterson, for their part, did not actually think that was the case. Langston, who had been involved in the screenwriting, working on the script, he had seen the various versions, which were all pretty bad. He thought that it was really just a matter of a poor creative project that did not manifest well. And he just thought they were abandoning it because it just wasn't quite clicking creatively. And he was, you know, not too disappointed because he stayed on in the Soviet Union for several months. And he, you know, worked there essentially as a freelance journalist.
What kind of reception did he get?
He was warmly received by his report or record of what happened. He tells this story of being in line for food. And there was, you know, obviously a long line as there was in the Soviet Union for goods. And he tells a story of someone in the line looking at him and saying, "Let the Negro comrade go to the front." So he paints quite a rosy picture of race relations in the Soviet Union, which some people have criticized him for.
Why were black artists and intellectuals in the 1930s and 40s drawn to Russia and communism?
You know, with any group, black people were not a monolith, and black leftists were not a monolith. There were certainly black liberals who were really interested in kind of a gradual theory of progress. But there were definitely many African Americans who thought that you needed a more radical approach to achieve racial equality in the United States. And the Communist Party of the United States, the CPUSA, had been really involved, particularly in the 30s and 1940s, in anti-racist campaigns. I think most famously, they were behind the effort to desegregate the blood supply of the Red Cross. So I think that a lot of people were looking to the Communist Party and seeing some really positive actions and positive steps. And so I think that certainly the group that went to Russia were part of that milieu.
Now, another African-American who had a long love affair with communist Russia is the famous singer Paul Robeson. Here's a recording of him singing the Soviet national anthem in 1944.
United forever in friendship and labor, our mighty republics will ever endure.
Jennifer, what drew Paul Robeson to Russia in the first place?
As was the case with a lot of the Black creatives who traveled to the Soviet Union, he just couldn't find opportunities in the United States. I mean, in his case, it was both because he was Black, but also because he was an avowed communist. So the Soviet Union offered, you know, an opportunity just to work, to do his work as an actor. And the film director, Sergei Eisenstein, who's more famous for his movies about the Russian Revolution, like Strike and October,
and
was really interested in making a film about the Haitian Revolution. And so he invited Paul Robeson to Moscow to star as Toussaint Louverture, the leader of the Haitian Revolution.
Why was the Soviet Union so interested in racism in America?
Well, the Soviet Union was internationalist from the very beginning. Lenin and Trotsky did not believe that you could sustain socialism just in one country. They really believed that you needed this network of different communist states around the globe in order to make this sustainable. And they saw in the United States that African Americans were by far the most oppressed group of people there. And they believed that as a result, they were the group that was most likely to stir a revolution in America. So that's why I think Lenin and Trotsky were so invested in anti-racism as a communist project.
You've studied this a lot, and I wonder what you think about how this moment in history, when Black Americans were traveling to Moscow in search of equality, how is it relevant today?
Well, I think what's really struck me about this is, you know, you look at this movie that Langston Hughes went to film in the Soviet Union, and that was 1932, so that was 85 years ago. And we still see that it's very difficult for Black artists and filmmakers and writers to really push through. You know, it's still newsworthy when a Black film is, you know, helmed by a Black director or when a Black actor is cast in a big budget Hollywood film. So we're still really struggling with this. So for me, it's just interesting how little progress has been made in 85 years.
Jennifer Wilson is a postdoctoral fellow at the University of Pennsylvania. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Long live our Soviet motherland.
And that's our show today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH, I'm Carol Hills. Back tomorrow. United and free.